بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So inshallah we're going to review so far what we've done previously on in the fifth session. We've talked about Azan, the meaning of Azan, some of the basic instructions related to Azan. Inshallah, brothers can move forward. We can sit up close. Thoda sa aage aaja. You guys can move forward from around the brother. Inshallah, aaja. Thoda sa aage aaja. So, the ruling of Azan. Does anybody remember what it was? Farz hai, wajib hai, sunnat hai. Azan ke ji, sunnat muakkada. Okay. These are basic things. वैसे हर मुसलमान को पता होनी चाहिए. अजान सुन्नत मुअक्कदा है हर फर्ज नमाज के लिए भी और कज़ा नमाजों के लिए भी. ओके, इट्स अ सुन्नत मुअक्कदा, दैट मींस इंसिस्टेड अपॉन सुन्नत ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम. वर्डिंग्स ऑफ अजान, वी टॉक्ड अबाउट दिस ऑलरेडी, 15 आर इन रेगुलर. ओके, एंड 17 विल बी द एक्स्ट्रा टू कलिमात इन द फजर. ठीक है. Other things that we talked about were who should be chosen as a muazzin, the most reliable person and trustworthy person who follows and adheres to the sunnahs, who understands the do's and don'ts of adhan. So these are things that are a responsibility of the committee of the masjid to look at, which make a person qualified to become an appointed muazzin. An appointed muazzin, that means it will be his responsibility that on a daily basis, on time, this person will be calling the azan. So the first point today we want to discuss is there are some other matters which are related that run around the whole chapter of azan. One is that once the azan is called, is it allowed to leave that masjid or not? Let's say we are in Masjid Noor and 7 o'clock, 7:15 azan is called. Now, is it okay? Is it allowed for me to leave this masjid? Is it okay for me to go out to another masjid and pray in a different masjid? Okay. So scholars have said it is disliked once the azan is called. Makruh hai ke jab azan ho jaye kisi masjid mein to us jagah ko us masjid ko chhod ke dusri masjid mein jana. Why is that? They say that once the azan is done, it becomes the right of that masjid. ठीक है, उस मस्जिद का हक बन जाता है कि अब यहाँ पर, क्योंकि आपने अजान यहाँ की सुनी है तो आप यहाँ पर नमाज अदा करें. इस मस्जिद के हक को पूरा करना है. नाउ देर आर सम एक्सेप्शंस, देर आर सम केसेस वेयर इट इज अलाउड फॉर द पर्सन टू लीव. स्कॉलर्स हैव सेड लेट्स से अ पर्सन इज अ इमाम. ओके, ही इज अ इमाम ऑफ अनदर मस्जिद एंड ही इज सिटिंग इन दिस मस्जिद, राइट? सो लेट्स से मदीना मुसल्ला, सो ही हैज टू बी देयर. सो इट इज अलाउड इवन इफ द अजान इज कॉल्ड हियर, it is allowed for him to leave. Same case for a muazzin, if he's an appointed muazzin of a different area and he has to call the azan there, because these responsibilities are collective, they affect the whole community. Another thing is emergency cases where health and anything that can be related to an emergency, a person has to go out. It can become a big problem if he doesn't. Then if the imam, if the alim, someone is there, it's best to always double check and then go. Sometimes we notice that jamaahs, they travel in groups, they come here and they have to leave because of their flight, right? So sometimes at fajr time, they will pray their own fajr and leave, and the azan of fajr here is called already. So there is a need. If they don't do so, what will happen? They'll miss the flight. So there can become a great loss for wealth, great loss for health, whatever the case is. In those emergency cases, it is allowed to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith has said, "La yakhruju min al-masjid ba'da an-nida illa munafiqun." A person will never leave a masjid after its azan is called, except a person who has nifaq in his heart. This is in general cases. Why? If we understand the importance of azan, I have just been told that the success is here, salat is here, and Allah's greatness will be mentioned and the great obligation will be fulfilled, and then I turn my back and leave, right? So we can understand it logically as well, that it has just been told to me, I've been invited towards fulfilling the command of Allah, and I turn my back and left. Okay, that's why Rasulullah ﷺ pointed this out as a sign of nifaq, that people who have heard the azan but they're still turning themselves away. And at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, this would hardly even happen. That's why this is such a stern warning. So one is that the masjid haq, it's a right. We have to stay and fulfill that right. Number two is the azan itself. We are practically replying to the azan, right? When somebody gives us an invitation, it's called a da'wah. And when we come to that person's invitation, as ijabah to da'wah, we have responded, right? Same goes for the azan. The azan is an invitation. Ek da'wat hame de di gayi. To ab hum us da'wat ko qubool kare. It's a response, a practical response to the adhan is that we pray the farz prayer in that masjid. Okay, these are the basic understanding for that. Number two, what are some instructions related to the pronunciation of adhan? This is very, very important, especially those who do get the opportunity of doing adhan again and again. We must know these things. Very first thing, adhan must be done in the Arabic language. So if somebody stands up and says, I will call out, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest, come for salat, come for success, that will not be constituted as an azan. The reason for that, scholars have said that other timings, you can give dawah as much as you like. You can call people towards the greatness of Allah in every language what we like. But there are appointed times which have been proven by the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ that azan was always called in the Arabic language. And even when the gatherings that were coming, the people that would hear the azan would be of different areas. Sahaba from different places that did not understand Arabic, they did not change the Arabic because of the people. So sometimes this logic occurs to us that, okay, we might be in a place where people understand English more, so should we do everything in English? So this logic does come in and a lot of people get confused with that. Wherever there is established sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it does not just fulfill the purpose of da'wah, but it also has many wisdom behind it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to keep the azan in that way, even when Islam was flourishing, and the Khulafa'i Rashidin had kept it in the same way, then there is many other benefits to keep Islam on its asal, on its origins. That's why it will not change over time, it will stay in the same form. Other scholars have said that the language itself, it has greatness. Allah chose the Arabic language for a reason, and there's great wisdoms behind choosing this language. So we should not purposely change the places where Rasulullah has kept it Arabic, so we should keep it in the same way. So that's why the strongest opinion is that azan will always stay as a symbol of Islam in the Arabic language. It must be done. Okay, number two, one should say fathatain on the word. Now this is a common mistake that happens. One should say fathatain on the word Muhammad in the Shahada. What does that mean? Shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. And then we say ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Muhammadan Rasulullah, and it becomes Muhammadar because of the tashdeed on the ra. So we say ashadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. That's the correct way. Now some people will just say Muhammadur Rasulullah, or they might think that in la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah there's dhamma, there's a pish. Then why is it in azan a zabar? Okay, this is related to the Arabic grammar, because when we say ashadu anna, any word that comes as a ism after anna will become mansub. It will have fatha on it. It's because of the anna that's coming there that Muhammad, the word Muhammad becomes with a fatha. Ye zabar ke saath padha jayega kyunki isse pehle anna aata hai. To arbi usool ki wajah se yahan pe zabar padha jata hai. So agar koi ye kahe ki main kalma mein la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah padhu to azan mein bhi padhunga to ye galti ho jayegi. Okay? Kyunki Arabic grammar ko hum tod nahi sakte. You have to keep it in the correct form. So Muhammad, word Muhammad will be read with fathatain, Muhammadar Rasulullah. One should not extend the letter ba. Now all of these are related to pronunciations, right? So we have to be careful when we hear azan, and if somebody is making this mistake, respectfully we should talk to them or ask the imam to fix this person's this word and that word. So one should not extend the letter ba in the takbir. Now when we say Allahu Akbar, if somebody says Allahu Akbar, to put a alif between the ba and the ra. To put a alif between the ba and the ra. So this is incorrect. And some, they have gone into great detail as to why some have said that one of the names of shaitan is Akbar. So they said that we should not make this type of mistakes in azan. Sometimes we don't know what we're saying, but we might be actually doing a sinful act. So if if these mistakes have happened, in some cases we don't need to repeat the azan. Most of these things are losing reward. But if people are constantly making the mistake, let's say the appointed muazzin every time he's doing it, so then somebody else should be appointed. Okay, either he fixes the mistake or somebody else should be appointed. So Allahu Akbar غلط ہے, ٹھیک ہے. با اور را کے درمیان الف کو لانا ہے, با کو کھینچنا, یہ اس چیز کی اجازت نہیں ہے. The next thing, one should say each takbir in a separate, one should not say each takbir in a separate breath, instead say two takbirs in one breath. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, this is one breath. Okay, if I say Allahu Akbar, take another breath and say Allahu Akbar, take another breath and say Allahu Akbar, take another breath and say Allahu Akbar, char saansein le li to ye galat hai tareeqa. Okay, so we're going to do two in one breath, ek saans mein do karna hai, phir ek saans mein do karna hai. Okay, so there's four in the beginning, so we'll be taking one breath and doing two, and then another breath and then doing two. Okay. It is allowed to extend the letter lam. Now this I added here because a question might arise that if we have to extend the voice, Rasulullah said that, you know, it should be somebody who has a long voice and he is extending so that it will go to further areas. So we do have to extend some letters in order to make the azan in that form. So the letter lam, Allahu Akbar, is lam ko khencha ja sakta hai. Ashhadu an la ilaha, lam ko khencha ja sakta hai. As-salatu khayrum, salatu khayrum. So lam ko zyada se zyada kehte, we can extend that lam. So qurra have said that it is allowed and is known as mad ta'zimi, that it's a type of mad to give more honor to the azan itself. Okay, by doing that is making the azan more beautiful. So the letter lam in these wordings, it's allowed to extend that. So when we do the azan, this is where we're stretching. And we're not going to stretch on ba, and we're not going to separate the takbirs either. Also, this is just a side note. I mentioned this last time, but when we say the azan, it should not be done in a musical form. Okay? So we know how singers, they try their best to make it attractive. The azan has to be balanced out between a nice voice and an invitation. Okay? It's a da'wat. You're giving clear wording out that come for the salah, and at the same time it should be done in a nice voice. Okay, to work on it and to do it nicely. We know that azan done in like different bigger masajis in Haramain, they're very experts in doing so because they have done it for long periods. They even take classes for this. So of course we should, every time we do azan, we try our best to do it in a better voice. Another thing is that if somebody is elderly and their breath isn't that long and it runs out, let's say even before the last word comes out, the breath keeps running out. Saans toot jati bar bar. So, mashora se, it should be decided that another person should do it. Okay? Because this is something that it's a symbol of Islam. So, a person representing it, he should be doing it right. At least to the basic requirements should be fulfilled. So if somebody is doing it once in a while, a mistake is made, that's a different thing. Okay, but if regularly the person doesn't have a long voice whatsoever and it constantly breaks off, آخری کے لفظ ہی رہ جاتا ہے, بار بار سانس ٹوٹ جاتی ہے, تو اس سے بہتر یہ ہے کہ دوسرے کسی شخص کی جس کی سانس لمبی ہے. And this is exactly why Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم encouraged Bilal رضی اللہ عنہ instead of Abdullah bin Zayd al-Ansari رضی اللہ عنہ. So the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم understood that this has to be done with somebody with a long voice, with a strong voice. Okay, number three. How should one respond to the azan? Now we're coming to the other side, people who are listening to the azan. So anything about this wording part, it's pretty clear, inshallah. So how should one respond to the azan? The same wordings of the muazzin should be repeated except after hayya alatain. Hayya alatain are hayya ala salah and hayya ala falah. So after that, we're going to say the hawqala. Hawqala is a term used for la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hawqala kehte hain la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So hayya ala salah ke baad aur hayya ala falah ke baad jawab jo denge, the answer, the person who is listening to the azan, he's going to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And after as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, we will be saying, so one thing is that, you know, we're just memorizing, and one thing is we know what is being said. Right? As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. What does that mean? Salat is? Neen se behtar hai, theek hai? Namaz neen se behtar hai. Namaz is better than. And that's why it's put in the Fajr, because everyone is sleeping. So it's a complete form of dawah that if you're staying back because of your sleep, don't. Because the salat is better than your sleep. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. The salat is better than the sleep. So what's the reply? Sadaqta wa bararta. You're saying to the muazzin that you have told the truth and you have done a righteous act. Aapne neki ka kaam kiya aur aapne sach bola. Wa bil haqqi nataqta. Some scholars have added that and they said that you should also say, and you have told the truth, which is nothing but haqq. That is also added in some cases, that's allowed if some people say it that way. Another few opinions that are in here, that if somebody says la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, that's also okay. And some scholars have said that for us, for hayy 'ala salah, we should say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, and for hayy 'ala al-falah, ma sha Allahu kana wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. This is also a thing. So if we hear somebody saying, we shouldn't be surprised, that is also one of the forms of responding to these words. Are there any conditions where one should not verbally respond to the azan? Okay? Now, azan is being called. Some situations is not right. That's why we have to always understand the wisdom of every ibadah. There's always do's and don'ts. Same goes for salam. Some people say, Rasulullah has said, spread salam. But in some cases, scholars will write down, and they pointed out numerous, almost 18 places where scholars have said that it is disliked to do salam in that position. So that's why understanding the whole picture gives us the true understanding of the ibadat. Now, these are some cases where the azan ka jawab nahi dena chahiye. Yes, in the following situation. While praying salah, of course that's logical. You're not going to break our salah just to give the jawab of azan. While giving khutbah, the imam is giving khutbah. At that time, he is not supposed to stop the khutbah, because what happens is, not over here, but in other countries, masajid are very close. So it's possible, okay, you know, there's Jummah going on here, and in the other masjid, the azan is being called. It's possible. They do that so that if people have missed salat here, they can make it to the other masjid, right? So in those situations, the azan will not be responded to by the imam. He's not going to stop his khutbah and respond. Same goes for the people listening. Those who are listening, it's obligatory on them to stay quiet. Many people, they even during the khutbah, they start making du'as. They say Ameen out loud. And we've announced this many times, again and again, it has to be refreshed, that even when du'as are made in the khutbah, there's du'as at the end. So at that time too, Ameen should be said in a silent way, that you're saying it in your heart, not saying it out loud. Okay? Because to stay quiet at that time is the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, when the imam sets up for the khutbah, then there is no talk. There is no conversation. So it doesn't matter in what form it is, we have to stay quiet and listen. Whatever, even if we don't understand the Arabic language, we have to stay quiet and listen. One who is teaching a lesson or studying in it. This is ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a form of ibadat itself. Learning and teaching, learning, seeking knowledge, and the student who is learning. Both teaching and learning. Dono halat mein agar session chal raha hai, so it's allowed to continue it even though the azan is going on. You don't have to stop and give a jawab to the azan. And we discussed last time about tilawat of the Quran. Now this is, scholars have said, it's better. You're in the masjid, you stop for a little bit, give the jawab, and then go back. It's not going to be a harmful thing to do so. But in cases where a person is doing wudu, right? In wudu, instead of reciting the du'as of wudu, we're going to be responding to the azan. While eating, the reason for that, and this is one of the places where even giving salam is makruh. Okay, if somebody's eating, koi khana kha raha hai, usko salam nahi karna chahiye. Why? Because it's a possibility that he's going to choke. So this is the great religion of Islam, is look at the smallest things too, that no one gets harmed, that he's thinking he's obeying Allah, but he might harm another person. Right? He's giving salam, and the person might feel, oh, I have to give response, and he has something in his mouth, he can choke. So it's not good to give the salam to be. Ji, Quran ki tilawat koi kar raha hai, to behtar ye hai ki unko aap us waqt na kare, baad mein. And there is a hadith of Rasulullah where a sahabi came and he waited till Rasulullah finished. So this is out of respect. that we should not disturb. And even if a person is doing zikr and he's really focused in his dua and his zikr, it's not good to just go up and, you know, push your salam into him, right? He will feel that I have to do it and he's going to get disturbed. So it's better, a few minutes it takes, and but if we delay it, it will not be causing any harm to anybody. So eating, when we're kirahiyat, that's why I'm saying makruh, again, when we say dislike, it's not like to do so. He's not obligated to respond. No, he's not. See, if the person who's giving it, if he understands the masla, it's taken care of to begin with. But let's say he gave the salam, and the person, he's not obligated to reply, but it can cause a problem in this person's heart that maine salam kiya aur isne jawab nahi diya. That's why it has to be stopped from the beginning. The person who's giving it, usko roka gaya. The person who's saying the salam, he shouldn't do it to begin with. So he's putting himself in a position where he can be disappointed. And when the person who is eating, he might have the knowledge that I don't really have to respond. But what happens, the person who did it will feel disappointed.
So, if the person who did it, they think
that
this other person is bad.
Yes. No, this is why I said he doesn't have to, but that means there's an option. There's an option. Let's say he's eating, okay, and it's okay. He's not eating something that he would choke on, and he did the salam back. See, these type of masail, they're rarely known by the ummah, right? So in these kind of places, scholars would say that just do it anyways because it can cause a bigger problem because of people not knowing. See, if it was a gathering of people who know a lot of masail that fall into the very last bit, it makes sense. But in some cases, these type of things are left as an optional. So in that case, we'll have to look at it. The person who's eating, if it's safe for him, and he can give the jawab, and he feels, if I don't, this person will not, you know, he will not like it at all. So he should give the jawab. Take it. Even with the tilawat. Now you got disturbed, you did this and now give the jawab. Right? So at least another problem doesn't come into existence. So that's one thing. Okay. While eating, while one is involved in intercourse, one is intimate with his wife and he hear the azan, it's pretty understanding why that is, because it's completely unethical and disrespectful that our mind is giving azan, jawab to azan, and we're involved in something. While relieving oneself in the bathroom, our satr is open, and same thing, almost the same thing, that it's unethical, it's disrespectful that we're in a condition of filth and we have to quickly, you know, purify ourselves and get out. And in that case, we should not be doing any form of zikr or replying to the azan. Is it allowed to talk during azan? Now that too is understandable that Allah's name is being said and an invitation is being given, and I'm talking about worldly conversations, right? So if we are in the masjid, there should not be any worldly talk to begin with. Not just at azan time. In the limits of the masjid, when I come, my mind should be prepared. Now I'm in the masjid. Now I'm not here to talk. So scholars have said that the person who is coming, his intention should not be that I'm going to talk about worldly things. Why? Because Rasulullah ﷺ said that yati ala nasi zaman, when the time will come on the people, and what will happen, that they will be gathering in the masjid to discuss their worldly affairs. The whole idea of getting in the masjid will be that so we can talk about business, let's make this deal happen, let's make that happen. فَلَا تُجَالِسُوهُمْ Rasulullah ﷺ said, don't sit with them. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةٌ Allah does not need such people. Allah ko aise logon ki hajat nahi hai. So that hadith, it's very clear, it's a stern warning that we should not have gatherings in the masjid about worldly conversation. Now, what happens? That person didn't come with the intention, but they're sitting for a long time and casually some conversation comes up, so then that's okay. This is not during the azan time. This is an other time in the masjid that he didn't come. He came for ibadah, but casually some ek do baatein idhar udhar ki ho gayi, koi business ki baat ho gayi, theek hai. But the purpose of gathering the masjid was not that. So then it will be okay to let it go to that extent. So we should plan our best that we shouldn't even do it at all in the masjid. Like in this area, we don't talk. If somebody is discussing matters, we go on the other side, right? Or we can step outside, brother. Let's go out and talk. Okay. So there's other options available as well. So why should we go to that limit? What is the ruling for reciting the dua after azan? Do we all know this dua? That's why I didn't write it here. Kon koi ek suna de to. Who's gonna?
Allahu Rabbi Adi Ta.
So Rasulullah said that when the adhan is made and someone makes this dua, حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, then my shafa'at becomes obligatory on this person on the Day of Judgment. Okay? So it is a mustahab dua. The ruling is mustahab. But if we want the benefit, of course, who doesn't want the intercession of Rasulullah? So it should be memorized for our kids, for ourselves. And it's a complete form of dua. رَبَّ هَذِهِ دَعْوَةِ التَّامَّةِ. Oh Allah, you are the Rabb of this complete form of invitation. وَالصَّلَاةِ الْقَائِمَةِ. This salat that is going to be established, you are the Rabb of all this. آتِ مُحَمَّدًا الْوَسِيلَ وَالْفَضِيلَ. Give Rasulullah the status where he becomes the interceder between the makhluk and Allah. The wasila, the source to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One fazila, the superiority. Grant Rasulullah some superiority. Fazila tunku bafte. وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَ. Get him to that status. مَقَامًا Mahmud. Some scholars have said, is the status where Shafa'atul Kubra will take place. When no one else would have any right to speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the first permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is Maqam Mahmud, which is known as the praised station, the status which is praised. وَرْزُقْنَا شَفَاعَتَهُ. Some add this, in other narrations it's not there, but it's an extra dua. So it is allowed to say that as well, that oh Allah grant us His intercession. وَرْزُقْنَا هَمَيْ أُنْكِ شَفَاعَتْ فَقْسْتَيَا عَتَى فَرْمَا. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادَ. Indeed, you never go against your promises. So, جي فَزِيلَتَ وَالدَّرَجَةَ رَفِيعَ. Yes, this is also there. So, if we can memorize the shortest form, that covers it. But then you will find narrations and scholars that say that وَرْزُقُنَا شَفَاعَتَهُ and ye fazila or wasila ko zabar ke saath padhna hai. So, آتِ مُحَمَّدَ نِلْ وَصِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةَ. And اب اس میں اس کے بعد اب ایڈ کر سکتے ہیں وَرْزُقُنَا شَفَاعَتَ. نہیں, it's not necessary. ٹھیک ہے, بیسک منیمم اب یاد کر لیں گے, اس کے ساتھ پڑھیں کوئی. جی, محمد نیل دو دفعہ. I don't know why. دیکھیں, اس کی ضرورت نہیں ہے, دو دفعہ پڑھنے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے. اور yeah, there are some etiquettes of this dua that, you know, went into an innovation form sometime. One is the muazzin, when he gives the adhan, then he's not going to say the dua out loud. Okay? I have spoken to this about to our muazzin as well, but it takes him so long to remove because he's elderly, he tries, but he's reciting the dua, so it sounds like he's doing out loud. So I've told him, inshallah, I'll remind him again and again, that we should not say the dua out loud. That person who is listening will feel that the dua is part of the azan. Okay? And this is why we have different groups in Islam who put Durud Sharif as part of the azan. Right? We know. So it just keeps going. There's no stopping to it. So we keep it exactly in the form that is given to us by Rasulullah. So the dua will be read and silently. And us dua ke waqt haath uthana bhi sabit nahi hai. Okay, so we'll raise our hands in the dua of azan. It's not established, so we should not do it. Ji. Khane ke baad bhi nahi hai. Ji. Nahi. So in the masjid, let's say we're just sitting, we would like to make dua. The adab where we sit in tashahud, we raise our hand and face the qibla. In some places, masnoon du'as that Rasulullah SAW had recited, like other things. Khate waqt, urte baithte, andar ab bahar ja rahe. To us waqt haath uthana jahan par nahi hua to nahi kare. Right? So we keep it our best the way it's supposed to be done. So it's not a point of argument. If somebody is doing it, that person should be explained in a way that, you know, don't do it as a form of ibadat. You forgot, you raised your hand because you're used to it, chalo. But don't make it a habit because it's not proven to do so. Okay? Is it sunnah to say the azan? Now this is a little bit different, but it's related to azan about the newborn. Jab bacha paida hota hai. Yes, it is sunnah to say the azan. Abu Rafi radiallahu anhu, his narration is there. He says, Ra'itu Rasulullah, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَأَذَّنَ فِي أُذُنِ الْحَسَنِ ابْنِ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving azan in the ear of Hassan radiallahu anhu. So this is a sunnah. When the baby is born, now how does it happen? You don't, in the azan for the child, the newborn, it's not necessary to do it in a very loud voice. And it's not necessary to put the fingers in the ears as well. So let's say I have the baby in my hand or it's right in front of me. I should be facing the Qibla. And the baby will be firstly in the right side. I'm going to give the azan. So the head will be here and the feet on this side. So I'm giving the azan, saying the words of azan. The wisdoms are pretty clear that the child, and this has to be done after the child has been washed right away, not right away. Once the nurse takes and cleans up the baby, after that, okay, the first thing that's going into his ear should be Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So he's starting his life with the da'wat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other scholars have said there's benefits of protection from jinnat as well in that. Because when the child is born, one hadith says that the shaitan puts effect right away. So that effect in one case is that it's that the good and bad, the ability is put inside. But other jinns, they can also have effect. Yeah. Yes, yes. So azan, yes. So that's what I was getting to. So the right ear is on this side. We give azan ke alfaz bolni fir. Then the baby should be held, put it back on this side. Okay. So mera chara, my face should be towards the qibla, and the baby will just be turned around. So when I turn him around, now I have his left ear, and now I say the words of iqamat, complete azan and complete iqamat. The only difference is that you don't have to say. Some people, if you are seeing that in the hospital, I'm gonna yell out. Or this is not the point. We have to think about our child, that their life begins with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll put that. Inshallah. Any question, brother? Inshallah, we've completed this. And the left ear, iqamat. Qad qamat salah ke saath. So inshallah, next time will be more about iqamat. We want to finish this about azan.